I was thinking as we listened to the musicians, that line from Get Together, that you hold the key to love and fear all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command. It's so true, and it's so true to this scripture that we read today. We hold that key, and the key is Jesus Christ, the key to love and fear, the key to which one we choose. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about priorities. So if you'll bear with me, let me pray. Gracious and loving Lord, we come before you, and we're grateful we can be gathered here. We're grateful that we hold that key. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable and satisfying in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I confess, this scripture that you heard Tim read, actually both of them, but certainly the Matthew one, has really been active in my heart for the last several months. I keep coming back to it. It keeps coming back to me, actually, is sort of the way it works. It's been on my heart, and it's been particularly there as I've thought about our church, and I've thought about our new vision and our new mission statements that we've worked so hard on and that I've continued to focus on with you as I promised the session that I would. And I think about, especially as they apply to stewardship, we hold those keys to love and fear. And so this text, the reason I'm here with this morning, is I want to tell you, if there was only one thing that I could say to you, only one thing that I could say to this church in this or any moment, it's this text. And if this were to be the last sermon I could preach to you, this text is the first thing I would say. It's that important. I would say to you exactly what Jesus says to us today. I think it's critical. Now, this isn't the most important text in the New Testament. That would likely be John 3:16, or maybe John 1 verses 1 through 18, or maybe all of Revelations 21. Those might be the most important, but it is the most critical teaching that Jesus gives us, particularly there in verse 33 when he says, strive first. He's establishing priorities for us. Strive first, he says. And that's what I want to focus on this morning. You see, this is critical instruction. Jesus tells us what we already know. No one can serve two masters. And then he invites some questions in saying that. Whom or what do you love? And whom or what do you fear? Our answer to those questions calls us to a choice. You see, many gods compete for both our love and our fear. We know that. That's those gods with a small g. Those gods that rule our life. Those gods that rule our checkbooks and our choices. Strive first. Strive first. Jesus tells us that efforts to establish God's kingdom and to grow into God's image are the essential priorities for the people of God. Strive first. Are you worried about your life? Are you worried about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear? Jesus asks us all those questions. Strive first, he says. Strive first, and all these things will be added as well. All these things in an alternative text will be given you as well. Jesus is simple here, Jesus is clear here, and Jesus is compelling here. He's directing our attention, he's pulling our focus and putting it on one thing: strive first for the kingdom of God and its righteousness. What most of us need is not all of the pieces of life's puzzle, I think, but enough courage to connect the pieces that we have. Strive first. Craig Barnes, who's a pastor and a preacher and now the head of Princeton theological seminary says, there really isn't that much question about what we should do. The real question is whether we'll do it or not. The real question is whether we'll do it or not. And Horace Bushnell, who's at Yale Divinity School, says this, and this I found this just really challenging. He says, I have moved from the agony of questions I cannot answer to the agony of answers that I cannot escape. How many can say yes to that? Once we recognize these inescapable answers, there's nowhere to go but to our knees. Strive first. We're on our knees, if not for guidance, then in Bushnell's terms, for courage. For courage to be faithful. And the Lord's just waiting for us. He's just waiting, as he has been for centuries. He's just waiting for you and for me to go to our knees and choose those answers. Strive first. So, of course, this is about following Christ. That's why I was so pleased with Dorothy's prelude, Lead On, O King Eternal. This is about following Christ, but it's also about stewardship. Come on, let's be honest. You already knew that, didn't you? It's about planting seeds, to Arlene's point, and it's about making a pledge. It's about making a pledge. Don't be confused about that. But I'm trusting you to connect those dots for yourself, because I know you folks, and I know you're smart enough to do that, and I know you're faithful enough to do that. So I'm not going to sit and bang you over the head about that sort of thing. I'm going to let Jesus do that. You can't serve two masters, though. He tells us that really clearly. So as your pastor, I just want to encourage you to be careful and prayerful about choosing where you invest your time and your talent and your treasure. Make that choice wisely, carefully, prayerfully. But my sights are beyond that this morning. My sights are beyond the obvious. My sights are beyond what you would expect me to be talking about this morning. Our head of finance is back there. Sorry, Tim. I'll get there sooner or later. But my sights are beyond the obvious, because it's about so much more than that. What Jesus is saying is about so much more than that. It's about a fundamental approach to the decisions of all the spheres of human life. What is the order of priorities which govern our response to life's challenges? Is it God with a capital G, or are they gods with a small g? Is it faith, or is it fear? This is about maintaining a basic worldview centered in the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news that he took to the cross for us, the good news that he gathered to him when he ascended to heaven. Are your responses to the challenges of life, are they governed by confidence in God's abundance or by fear of scarcity? What's driving the bus for you today? Choosing God first, striving first, as it says, has revolutionary implications when contrasted with the policies and practices of the culture all around us. It's a very different life. And see, this message isn't about money. It's about your life. It's about life, and it's about death. And if this is critical for human life, then it's even more critical for God's church. And if Christ alone, as we proclaim, is Lord of the church, then we must certainly focus our efforts on keeping this first thing first. Strive first. We must certainly ask ourselves, what does the Lord want for FHPC in this season of its life? What are we called to do? Strive first. Now, Session has prayerfully sought God's will on this question. I've sat with them while they did it. I've watched them as they prayed, and I felt their pulse. And our elders have opened their souls to one another as we considered the direction for this church in this troubled and traumatic time. As we considered what we needed to say to our folks to give them hope and confidence in a time where everything is changing so rapidly. Now, the details are not yet in place, but the sense among our leadership is that it's time to refocus our ministries toward biblical faithfulness. It's time to reprioritize our efforts toward disciple-making, the very thing that Jesus calls us to in his last comment to his disciples on top of that mountain. Go. Go and make disciples. On a practical level, this means new and different directions in outreach and ministry, all of which come with a spiritual and a physical and, yes, a financial cost. And I'm praying that you good folks will see this as a faithful response to God's will for this church as it was intended to be by our elders. And I'm praying that you'll continue to support FHPC financially in ways which affirm your embrace, your commitment, and your enthusiasm for our direction. There's much, much more for us to do here. There's many more ways we can impact Fountain Hills and the world beyond. And there's a will and a vision here to do it. But we can't begin to do it without you, without all of you. We need your support. We need you in our committees. We need you in our efforts. We need you in our ministries. We need you in our activities. And yes, we need your money. We need you. This church goes nowhere without you. Jesus defines our task clearly for us this morning. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then he tells us what comes from exactly this sort of life. And all these things that you've been worried about will be added to you, will be given you as well. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The first responsibility is ours, the striving. The second, the giving, well, that's his. And we can count on him. This is to be for us as children of the living God, not some momentary strategy for short-term success, but a way of life. Strive first. As Eugene Peterson interprets Jesus' words in verse 33 in the Message paraphrase of this text, this is what he says: what I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax, to not be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. In other words, be careful to keep those first things first. Always. Always. And after all, as Paul once asked his friends in Corinth, the same thing that I'm asking you today. What do you have? What do you have that you did not receive? There is a question for you. How are you going to answer?